So, hopefully, does everyone have one of these kind of summary sheets? If you don't, maybe raise your hand, and I had a couple people kind of passing them out. If we don't have enough, we can make copies too, but... Are we good? One more, Kirsten? Oh, okay. Okay. So let's just go through. I want to just hit highlights. We won't be able to probably get summaries from every group and what we all talked about. But I want to at least give you kind of a summary of the sequence and the steps in each of the stages, okay? So does someone from one of the K-First groups want to just talk through and maybe summarize, you know, what are some of those character traits and what are some of those academic traits you talked about? Dayla? Can I pause you for a second? Because I just realized there's a couple of families that are sick and couldn't come. Amanda, could I have you be my runner? And like, this is kind of annoying, but instead of me summarizing, because you're doing such a great job, can you just like bring this, the mic?
Do you want me to repeat all of that, or just go ahead to academic? Okay. And then for academic things, again, I felt like we had kind of an overarching umbrella of goals, and that would be just to love learning and to see learning as something in our curriculum but also out of our curriculum, and kind of pointing out whether it's family board games or trips to museums or whatever we're doing, that learning is happening. And then also for our students, kind of concretely drawing those connections of, hey, this is what we've been studying in school, and here's how you're using it out of school. Also just growing to love literature and having that have a place in our families. Also how to test and kind of just those beginning skills of why we have to demonstrate what we know and how we do that well, with hopefully without anxiety and without fear, but kind of walking our students through that process because it's new for them. So kind of the highlights from our group. I don't know if any other K-1 groups.
Anybody else want to add anything from the K-1? I think those are great. And again, you'll see in the next stages, right? If you don't emotionally regulate, I'm still learning to emotionally regulate. Love.
We really covered through what is listed here. So take a minute to look at second and third. The parents echoed with the teacher on how second grade in particular is just, now we've collected so many of these little pieces of how to do, you know, how to actually write a letter, how to recognize a number, and then we're asking them to produce things out of it now. And so we're halfway through, we're getting to the point where we're seeing these little pieces come to a place where we can prove that it mattered and look back at how we just didn't know what that was going to be halfway through, and now we're going to look ahead now and see. We don't know how to do what's at the end and required of us, but proof that those math facts matter and those phonogram sounds matter is now they're at a beautiful place where they're putting them together. And I have a unique group this year that's all firstborn pretty much, but finding the balance of telling them they can rest here, like they are not in charge, they are not responsible, it's okay to just enjoy it, but also then to give them tools of how can you serve other people well at your house, how can you take all this energy to get it done and do it well. And so a lot of transition, a lot of now taking those pieces and transitioning to the everyday skills of now I can take those sounds and I can read and they're excited about it and sometimes not excited about it. But just reminding them that you're collecting tools and I'm here to help you, your parents are here to help you. So one of my favorite things we said were, what are some of the practical tools to use? And since we covered what's printed there, I'm just going to talk about our tools for just a second, but use your campus teacher. You don't act this way at school, probably. You don't say those words, so let them hear you as a parent. Remind them that your teacher is for you and with you, and I'm your teacher, and I'm with you and for you. I get to be your parent also. So use each other practically. Ask them questions, but also don't be afraid to put a little heat on how they behave beautifully for us at school. Also, using Mr. Hoffman's Koinonia lessons have been really helpful for us as parents and teachers to just rehearse that, how do we go from rocks to real life, and what does that look like to be tough, and how do I respect people and my teachers by behaving that way. And so using that as another reference point on what is important, what does character look like at home and in the classroom. There's a lot of resources out there. We talked about some visual learning posters where it shows you, you feel like you're down here, how do we get up here? So looking to maybe your other surrounding co-teachers and ask them, what are the practical visual things you're using at home? And then using favorite things as motivators to get to the end of the day. So maybe don't do their favorite thing first, maybe do the hard thing first. We've talked a lot about that. But we are all thankful for rocks and that common ground that we have between home and school and at that point of reference. So sometimes working backwards from rocks and spelling out to them that the way you did that was disrespectful, or I did not feel important at all when you decided that you were the most important. So sometimes spelling out backwards the rocks character that they know, they're really familiar with. But those were our tools that I thought were really helpful to take away today.
That's okay, I'll come to you.
One of the things that we kind of went over was summarization. Like in our household, and I know a couple of the others, like it's kind of been a struggle to learn that task, but it's definitely something that they will need to grow on and use in the future. And we kind of just also went over like explaining to them that it is something that even we need now as adults in different aspects of our lives. So.
Very deliberately, those three steps and the questions, that helps because you still have to do that. You have to read something and then you have to summarize it in later stages. That's great. So, okay, first, again, you're building on the skills. You're taking the steps. So, you know, handwriting, let's use writing as an example. They're learning first pencil grip, right? Why the heck is this important? Well, because this is hard to write with quickly over time, you know? And it's messy, okay? And maybe it works when you're writing three-letter words, but that's harder when you're writing a whole paper, okay? And so that pencil grip, the letter formation, and the ad nauseum, like, you know, steps to handwriting with tears is what my children call it. And so, you know, why do we do that? Well, because you're going to write in sentences, and we want you to then write in paragraphs. And second and third is that, okay, now we're pulling together some of those pieces, and we're writing in sentences. And so now the hand, we're still working on handwriting, but now it's like, where on the page? I know Mrs. Candy works so hard on, like, organizing your page, you know, like, where do you write things, and how do you write them, and in the spacing, and what space, and how to line things up, okay? And that can seem like something you're just like, eh, right? But we have to have that because we have to build upon it so that when we ask them to do a reflection paper as a 10th grader, they can organize their paper themselves, okay? And so, again, just building on those stages. So let's look at some of those middle, okay, the fourth. And I separated fourth and fifth, sixth, even though you were kind of in similar groups. Just on the paper, because fourth grade just seems like they're not yet ready to do those fifth and sixth grade things. But they're taking little itty-bitty steps, okay? So I just saw them kind of this bridge. They're the middle child, okay? So they're the awkward middle child stage. But so, I don't know, Mrs. Perry, do you want to summarize some of that?
Sure. A few things that we talked about are kind of similar. They're being echoed in the younger grades as well, especially that kind of grit mentality, both in academics and in character traits, that willingness to push through when things get hard. And along with that, emotional responsibility came up with not just being able to, like, self-regulate your emotions and not throwing a fit, but communicating well what's going wrong. And that, I think, plays in academically and character-wise as well. We also talked about personal responsibility. They're getting to that age where they're taking on more of their academics for themselves. And just those little habits that Mrs. Candy really has trained them well on, they're getting to put some use to that, where they're taking care of their own things and organizing things, and that's preparing them for Mrs. Cox, where that really does take a bigger role, organizing your notes, taking notes, that kind of thing. A big thing too is focus and not being distracted. We talked about that and how they shouldn't borrow trouble. I liked that Mrs. Berner said that. Don't borrow trouble. Focus on what's in front of you right now. Don't worry about the next thing. Just attend whatever you're doing. So those are some of the things we talked about. We also had mention of a vision board and how those goals could be attained and how they can see progress and move towards goals. So, yeah, those were some of the big takeaways, I believe. Is there anything you'd like to add? Yeah. So those are the big ones.
One of the things at my house, like, okay, yep, stop erasing. It's not perfect, but we don't have to have this perfect because we're just jotting notes down, right? So that's, I think that's fourth, and that's kind of that fifth, sixth. And they're starting to use, right, what's the SWR? We want them to use those SWR rules. Like, now you have to apply those rules. You might not have ever ever had that spelling word, but you can do this at home. Well, you tell me, how do you think you spell that? I still have kids who are like, how do you spell, you know, the writing of the paper? And I'm like, well, let's see if you can figure it out. I bet you can figure it out because you have all these rules. So not letting them, it's fine sometimes to be like, A-P-E-A-S-E, a piece, you know. But don't do that all the time, okay? Because we want them to start applying and seeing, hey, I can figure this out, okay? And that's this age, this fourth through upper grammar, fifth, sixth, is like, I can figure it out. I don't just have to immediately ask someone, okay? Do you want to add anything, Mrs. Coxon, like that fifth, sixth, or Mrs. Lake? Any of your groups? Yeah. Run!
Thanks, Mrs. Hilbert. I think one of the things is like really being able to correct mistakes, which to me is a part of the grit, because sometimes you get a bad grade and you just don't want to see the paper anymore, so we throw it away or we crumple it or whatever. But no, that's how we think about that is really important, and being able to go back, especially in both math and Latin, to be able to go back and see, what do I need to do differently? Because if we don't learn from our mistakes, those things will continue to give us challenges. So just being increasing in that willingness, I think, is a huge key to really doing well, and being able to learn from our own mistakes rather than the teacher needs to come and say, oh, I see you keep forgetting to reduce your fraction or whatever it is. Oh, no, I can see it on my own paper and can make adjustments accordingly is a really huge key skill.
Note-taking, I think, is a huge skill in this grade, and I really appreciated, you know, I know, I don't see Mrs. Lake, but Mrs. Lake and Mrs. Cox, and just kind of across the board, like, it's a step into that those logic years that I think will be really helpful for them, but it's kind of clunky at first, right? They need some help being able to do that. So I appreciated that one as well. Let's 7-8. You want to just join in?
Mrs. Hooper, could I ask you? I think I left my notes on that table, some of the things. Nope, kidding. Okay, never mind. Anyway, we were discussing, talking about logic, 7th and 8th grade. And if you can remember what it's like being in 7th and 8th grade, those are years of trying to understand what it's like to move from child to adult and trying to navigate those waters with grace. And sometimes understanding that we fall short. And as they grow in independence academically and socially, as friends become a very important part of life, they're always important, but in those years, those friendships feel very, very deep and very, very essential. What it means for us to honor the Lord in our relationships, and that's also with what we say, what it means to not gossip, and what gossiping is kind of isolating another for the false intimacy with another, and how we often do that even in adults, because sometimes in awkward situations it feels good to feel united with someone in a way. So we talked through that. We talked about what does perseverance look like without giving up academically, what it means to look at things that we've done but not be filled with shame. And this is really a year where, or a couple years, where they're moving, of course, from us being co-teachers sitting next to our students to letting our students take responsibility and emailing their teachers with questions. How do you compose an email to a teacher showing respect and dignity and asking questions so that they actually make sense, and then checking on those questions, how to look past in your past work? I think it was Mrs. Cox that mentioned this, looking for mistakes. This is also a class that, honestly, it's a smaller class. And so Mrs. Paplow is able to speak to us a little bit about the importance of, even when you're sitting very close to your best friend in class, what does it mean to not be chatty? That is a very difficult thing. And so we got some...
There's nearly a class of girls. There's a high female population.
Right. So how do we discussed, and we could have gone for a long time. We could have gone to the Great Dane for lunch and talked for a couple hours. I feel like But we just started discussions on what it looks like to encourage our students to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others as themselves. And how to do that in our words, how to react with the opposite sex, because sometimes that feels very awkward at this age too. So how do we have those types of friendships? And of course, if you can hear, these are huge topics that we only like touched on. But academically, I think that this move toward independence is a very huge step for them. Does anybody, I mean, Jill had was in my group. Jill, did you have anything to add to what I'm saying? Okay. Or Mrs. Paplow? Okay.
Yeah, and I would add, you know, we talked in our group, seeing the transition from the logic into the rhetoric and what are the differences we are seeing. So, Kirsten, do you want to talk about kind of those seventh, like in from seventh and eighth into the rhetoric?
Sure.
And then I'll let Austin do too, but I just...
we realize Kirsten has someone pretty much in every stage.
Yeah, I could have been in all of your groups then. I have everyone in every stage except maybe fourth right now. And I'm excited for you all because I can see those stages building and being fruitful. And one of the key things from the logic to the rhetoric is just, we talked about the growth in study skills, self-correction, but also the difficulty of continuing to be in relationship, and that being a key thing with us as co-teachers and parents. That's a key thing, to stay in relationship. And as they're more like self-correcting, as they're more independent, the thing is to let them go do their work, but to continue to check in, to have discussion with our kids about what they're learning, but praising their growth, what we've seen the Lord do in their lives, and how they've grown in study habits and character, but also we're still in relationship as parents, where we can correct and love and be encouraging as they grow and as we start to think about sending them out into the world. You know, how do we have discussion about that, about what they're about to step into? And I just want to encourage you all on a greater scale. Again, I think we say this at the beginning of the year, it's a great reminder in the middle of the year of Christ's sufficiency in all of this. Like the kindergarten years, I have a kindergartner, I have a third grader, I have a fifth grader, I have an eighth grader, I have a tenth grader. Christ is sufficient through all the years. We cannot do all this work alone. Mm-hmm. Look at the cloud of witnesses that we're surrounded by. Like, this is a very beautiful thing. You don't have to do it alone to teach your child to love learning. You have a cloud of witnesses around you. You have wonderful teachers who love Jesus and want to teach your children to love Jesus through the subjects. It's such a wonderful thing. You have friends, mentors, encouragers who are with you, who can help you to help your children to love learning, who can help you to love learning. And we can be encouraged and love on each other through that. So this is a gift. And I was encouraged by Kim and her workout program, how you just get to the first stage in 1 year. Like, you wanna get through these things faster. You want your kids to grasp a concept faster. But we have all these years with them from kindergarten, and I'm looking forward to those 11th and 12th grade years. But you see the progress, you see the fruit, even if it takes years to see the fruit. I'm seeing fruit now in my 10th grader that I've been sowing into him since he was born, you know? Sometimes it seems exasperating, but when we're doing it together, we see that it's worth it. And we see that Jesus has placed us in each other's lives at the exact place and times that he brought us to, so that we can encourage one another and challenge one another, sharpen one another to keep on running the race, and do that with our children in relationship with our children. So.
I thought it was so valuable to hear. I almost said hear from older parents. And then I was like, we should say parents of older children. mature and wise. So because, again, you can get lost and it just feels like you're at that stage for so long. And Danette was sharing how she's, you know, you become one of those parents where you're like, it flies by. But it doesn't feel like it's flying by when you're at some of your stages. Okay. So again, these three ladies up here, just such a valuable resource of people who, you know, they've made it through the stage and they've persevered through the five sets of 15, you know. And so now it's not as intimidating. It's not that it's easy, but now like for instance, those logic years, I'm looking at them different as a couple of my others enter into those, because I kind of see how it progresses and I can see the end. And so there's more hope of like, oh, you won't always remain this awkward, like where you're using sarcasm and you're trying to like, and it's disrespectful, but you're trying, I know you're trying to relate in an adult way and you just don't know how to do it. And so again, it's like, oh, okay, now you're funny and witty, you know? Like, now you seem more like, okay, I get this, you know? And so there's hope, there's grace, I think. It helps you go through those other stages. And so, again, link arms, get that boost of Kirsten's, like, encouragement, you know. So get that from each other. Austin, do you want to kind of summarize any more of this kind of rhetoric years and what the goal? Or Michael, feel free to, like, I'm going to make Amanda, like, run between the two. Let's do that. But... you guys do such a good job of kind of summarizing these stages. Can you give us a quick kind of picture of character and also academics of what we're aiming for?
I mean, it's hard to add to what Kirsten said other than maybe you wish some of their peer relationships would be a little bit more awkward again. Speaking just in general of the rhetoric years, I mean, so often in the Old Testament, you see two of the main calls that are given to Israel is to hear, to remember. So one of the things we talked about, as they're growing more independent, they are hearing different voices around them and being able to discern which voice do you listen to, which voice do you follow. And if you want to think of Greek mythology, do you listen to the voice of the muse or do you listen to the sirens that are calling you away? If you want the Old Testament, it's here, but you also have to remember what you were taught. So in Proverbs, remember the instruction of your father, remember the commandments of your mother. Which voice are you going to listen to in this world? And so really, as we're going into these upper years, they've been taught, they've been through this program, they've had many years with their parents of instruction, but now will you remember that? And then when you go out and you hear different voices, how will you respond? Are you able to charitably interact with them? Are you able to hold fast to what is true? Do you have this ability to both think through what you've been taught, what you've learned, to hold fast to it, and then also to communicate it effectively, but also beautifully in a world that disagrees, and to be able to have that charity of difference? So we talked a little bit about how the role as parents changes, but in a lot of ways it stays the same. You're setting the example, you're modeling in your own life, but then you're also having that communication with them. You're constantly teaching, constantly giving instruction, and again, their task is here, remember. And so I think in general, if we would talk about those years, it would be here, remember, and then as they're remembering, they're able to go out and speak in the world. Now you get to run to the other side of the room.
Maybe just to encourage parents that are kind of maybe further back. So in the 9th, 10th grade class, for example, in leadership, half our class is reading through different books, thinking about worldview and discussing those things. And the other half is we studied the whole book of Habakkuk, and we're studying the whole book of Romans this year. So just break it up. And the students' homework is to read through the passage, notice the literary structure,
see what the main point is by emphasis. How does this connect with the whole biblical story, and how would you apply it in their lives? And they're doing it. And there's still some points where they're missing some things, or there's some things I need to tweak with them. But for the most part now, they're getting to the point where, like, the main point, they're getting it every time. They're seeing how it applies to their lives. And so that's just really cool, just to think about where kind of our students could be, that actually they can actually start to feed themselves on God's word. And what's cool then is so many of the students then have been chatting with their parents. Like, they'll be studying Romans and be like, Mom, Dad, like, been thinking about this passage, and like, what do you think about it? And there's these really sweet discussions where one of the things I was sharing with the parents is that, you know, it's easy to think that we're training our kids to be completely independent and autonomous, but that's not correct, actually. In Scripture, there's no space for independent, autonomous people. We're always in community. We're always in relationship with God, with one another. But we do want the sense of, like, being able to feed ourselves, and then being able to do that in relationship with others, right? And so that's actually the goal we're moving towards, is not just independence. And that's why that relationship piece that Kirsten was talking about, I think, is so key. And so I just think there's some sweet years to look forward to, but those habits start early. Your kids are not going to want to talk with you if you're not listening to them now when they're talking about things that you don't really care as much about, you know? Like, you know, they're telling you about, like, this story they read, and, like, all the, because they don't know how to summarize. They tell you every little detail, and they're not telling you an order, and you're kind of lost, but they're trying to tell you about some story they read. Like, lean in. Listen well there, because then they're going to know you're a parent that cares about them, and they're going to want to talk with you about the other things later in life. And so just kind of see where it's going, and build in those habits there. And so I think just the only other thing I would say is, I think the best thing you can give your kids is your own relationship with Christ. And so put the big rocks in place first. Because if you're modeling that, your kids will learn to model that, right? At the end of the day, I'd rather your students, like, wake up in the morning and have a good time in the word and prayer, and come in and hand in an assignment not quite completed. I think that's probably more honoring to God, right? And so if you're modeling that priority of the word and prayer, and even, like, stopping with them and, like, hey, let's pray about it. We're hitting a spot where we're struggling with math homework right now. Let's just stop and pray and ask God for help. Like, that modeling, even from an early age, as it carries through, is going to teach them so much more than any of the X's and O's that we teach them in terms of the data. And so just really encourage you at the start of a new year, maybe it's a fresh opportunity for you to dig back and say, what really are the big rocks? And how do we put those in place individually and as a family? So that's what really carries our students through. So I just want to encourage you with that.
You like it that I make you work? So I'm gonna switch things a little bit while you're all sitting so nicely and you're all here. I think we're going to do announcements. And then at the very end, I want to give teachers, if they have any of their own announcements, because you're all together and it's just, we can write it, but we've learned that some of you do really well when we write things down, but hearing it is also helpful. So I want to give them just a couple minutes to, like, now that my whole, you know, parents class is here, I just, here's the reminder. And I know Mrs. Cox just wanted to meet really briefly with Latin 1 and 5th grade math. Yeah. So we'll do that at the very end. But I'm going to ask Katie to come up and just kind of do announcements, reminders, encouragements, all the really fun stuff.
I always get the fun stuff.
I know.
This time I didn't bring candy to throw at you. I'm so sorry. You should thank me for that. No, but so first semester, we're going to talk about ending first semester well. So first semester, the last day is actually on January 18th. We go into this year, and it gets a little confusing, but just so you know, that's when all of our end of the semester reports are going to be coming out. Also, for those of you with Singapore A and B, just note that A, we've probably talked about this at the beginning of the year, but A, Singapore A is a little bit longer, so you'll still be in that for a little while. Your teacher will let you know when you need to start bringing that Singapore B into class, but that won't be complete until you are into second semester. Snow gear. So that's really fun, especially for the younger years, right? So if we could just get that, we've talked a lot about habits. If we could maybe get our kids into the habit of how to pack your snow gear, what to bring, make sure you have everything when you come. Because
labeled,
yes, exactly. And it might look a little different when they bring them to school versus at home, just so they know how to pack that well, so they get everything here, because it helps our classrooms, it helps the teachers to get out as much as they possibly can. And if they're coming to school, but they're a little bit under the weather and you don't feel like they can go outside, they actually probably should not be coming to school. So if they can't go outside, I don't know, that obviously there's nuance there, but that's something to maybe keep in mind. If they can't go outside, maybe they just aren't able to come to school that day, and that's a bummer, I know, but the kids really need to get outside and play. But if they don't have snow gear, unfortunately, they can't go outside. So just keeping that in mind. Tardies, so if they could come, if your kids could come with enough time to actually be ready to start class at 8:45, so that doesn't mean getting to school 8:45, especially with all the snow gear and like the 20 pounds of stuff that they have to carry down the steps and get ready, just maybe even a good 10, 15 minutes early to be here ready for them to send them in to be ready for class at 8:45, that really helps our classroom teachers and the rest of the class. And then we just talked about the please read emails carefully. I know this is hard to do when there's so much information to get, but if you get things like your calendar at the beginning of the year or just reminders for things, if you could just stop and put that on your calendar, I think that would really help. I always forget to do, if I forget to do that, I will just probably forget it altogether when it comes in. So if we could just do that, especially for these things that are required, we require three things during the year. We require FEW and the in-service and the state of the school address. And those things we're requiring just because we know what a value that is to you. And the teachers and the staff really work hard to make these valuable for you guys and for us as well. And that's why we make them required. So if you could just make that a big priority to be here, that would be great. And the community part, that's a big part of it. It's not just listening to it. It's being together and being able to discuss as well. That's a big deal. Also, I think people have asked about childcare. Just a reminder, we don't provide childcare for any events, unfortunately. We're just so big. We wish we could. We really do. But we just can't at this point of the school size. So we don't actually provide childcare for any events besides, of course, co-teacher coffees, which is wonderful. But just a reminder for that as well. Now, there's also the Caris Facebook page where sometimes people post on there, hey, I need a sitter. My sitter fell through. Do you have any ideas? So feel free to share those things with other people. Maybe collaborate. I know people have gotten their kids together with, you know, a bunch of parents get together and have their kids with two babysitters or something. There's opportunities for that. So if you need help, you know, reach out for sure for that. Let's see here. Second semester, unless there's anything else for a semester that we need to hear. Okay, second semester begins on January 21st. We are in school on Martin Luther King Jr. Day with a Black History Month emphasis continuing through February. Now we've done both, and we're in school on MLK Day because we have noticed that our students learn so much more about him and about Black History Month when they're actually in school, and it's really a beautiful thing to hear from our students, being able to talk about all these things and be able to listen together to Martin Luther King Jr.'s speech and read stories about him. So that's been great. So we'll be continuing that on through February. Grades are sent home the week of January 21st. And then State of the School Address, that's January 28th from 7 to 8 p.m. Again, it's required. This is essential for us to be able to cast vision so you can see where we've been, where we're going, some exciting announcements, set expectations to unite us as a community, to talk about things that are coming up. It's usually an exciting night if there's not a snowstorm. There have been occasional snowstorms. We'll let you know. I think last year was good. We were good last year. So we'll see about that one. But January 28th, please put that in your calendar, 7 to 8 p.m. here. Student events and activities. These are the fun things. In the drudgery of February, right, we have Spirit Week. the February 11th through the 15th. It gets everybody excited when we're like in the slush and the brown spring. Usually maybe it's white, I don't know, but it's cold. And so keep your eyes open for what Spirit Week looks like. There's going to be pictures going up for your satellite days, because you can dress up and have pajama day and certain things that you can post pictures of your satellite classroom on our Karis page, which is super fun. The silent auction, now that's, you probably have heard, that looks a little different this year. Last year and previous year, we had the silent auction with our art gallery in Bard Cafe. This year, it's actually just a totally separate fundraising event, and it's not on campus this year. It's March 15th, the Ides of March. So it'll be a Friday night. It'll be a ticketed event. I believe it's going to be $25 a person, but it's going to be a nice, fun evening out at the top of the Park Hotel. It's right on the Capitol Square. The space is lovely. I'm really excited about it. We're super excited about this event. And the hope for the team is that, so our school is growing, and it's been such a wonderful thing, but as with growth, the need for tuition assistance grows. So we're really hoping that this is a very successful event. So we are actually looking for underwriters for this event. So that could be individuals, that could be companies, businesses. So we've got a letter. So if you're interested, or if you know of anybody who'd like to underwrite this event, sponsor it, you'd get some big marketing during our event, and even up until we'll have web marketing, and then silent auction items. So our silent auction items are going to be a little bit different. We're going to have less this year, but they're going to be awesome, and there will be collaborative art projects. There's Mrs. Johnson. There will be, so that's what everybody wants, but they'll be there as well. So keep that in mind. But if you have any ideas for silent auction, we could really use some ideas. So if there's a hotel you frequent, or someplace you go frequently, like Lake Geneva or the Dells, or someplace where you go and you have a relationship with a company or a business, would you let us know? And then we could reach out to those people with, we've already got letters and requests for some of those things, just to build a great package. Or if you haven't heard about this before and you're interested in being on the team to help us with the silent auction fundraising, that would be awesome too. So just reach out. Brittany, yeah, good. Yeah, please. This is our chair, fundraising chair here, Brittany Walker.
Oh, no, I'm not the fundraising chair, just the silent auction chair.
Yes.
Don't lose Tia's credit,
yeah, Tia.
Wherever she is. Anyways, so on the same lines of what Katie was saying, not only for, like, donations, but also for, like, monetary donations. Like she said, like, monetary donations for, like, sponsoring a table, and we'll, you know, do... What is my word?
Signage.
Yeah, signs and advertisement that those were given, or even just like, you know, like, oh, I'm going to give you the money for all the printing materials, you know, so we have like the pamphlet and those types of things. But then I also want to make note that, so like she said, it is just the silent auction this year. There is no kids involved. There will be no kids there. There's no artwork. So I know like that some people, that kind of hinders like grandparents, aunt and uncles, those types of things from coming to the event, even though we are still going to have the artwork available. But please remember, for those new or those that were here last year, that we do have it online. So even though you're not at the auction, like if you have family members far away, they can still go online, look at the items, bid on the items without even being there. So just, you know, something to keep in mind when talking to people, like, oh, I don't think I can make it this year, just because it's not the same, you know. It is new, which we're excited about, but yes, we understand. But hey, you can still like contribute, you can still participate by bidding online. If you want to give a monetary donation, like those types of things, just be aware of those things when talking to people.
Thank you. Perfect. Yeah. Thank you for remembering. Yes. And we'll put some quotes out there of tuition assistance recipients, but it is really, really cool to hear from families when they receive tuition assistance and when we make it available for people to come to Karis. So we kind of, that's another community thing we do for those families.
Can I mention something?
Yeah,
too? Just
please.
Because this is such, it's different. If you've been with us for a while, this is very different. And part of the move is that we are trying to aim for those people who are maybe the higher donors, right? Mm-hmm. The high dollar donors. And so, like, I have some people who might want to come and sit at a swanky event and have dinner together that may not want to sit through. It's amazing, but they may not want to sit through my kids' poetry performance. So this is that event, okay? We will also, Katie will probably say this, but I'm stealing your thunder. We'll also have another event that's like a family, a Karis family event, okay? So this is to raise funds, okay?
Yeah. And on the same lines of that, like you said, if you have friends that are like, you know, they like to go to classy things or something like that, hey, do you want to have a date night out with us and go to this event? It's going to be fun, a lot of socializing, like that type of thing. Like, put it out there, because you never know who you will, like, do a spark on or whatever. Mm-hmm. So.
Yep, perfect. So, yes, great. And along those lines, so the academic fair is what Kim was talking about, and that will be April 12th. And that is where all of the kids' artwork down here will be displayed, and then we'll have sort of a bard cafe, but just, it won't be exactly that. There will be some performances. There'll be, I don't want to give it all away because it'll be really exciting, but a history room, a science room. There might be, like, you know, things like face painting, a pie walk. It'll be fun. I'm not exactly sure what that looks like yet. We are pretty sure, but we don't want to give everything away. But that'll be the fun event where you can invite your families to come and see the artwork and see what our students have been working on. So April 12th is that
Karis Arts Fair.
Karis Arts Fair. No, it is in the, I believe it's the morning. It'll be a morning. It's a Friday, I believe. That's a Friday. So there will not be Friday courses. So this will take the place of Friday courses. And then the play performance will be May 18th, so you can put that one down as well. Date 17th. 17th. Yeah, 17th. It's the 17th. Strike that. May 17th is when it is. Yes, there you go. You'll hear a lot about it. You will hear a lot about it anyway. Okay, so dates off. You can make notes of these as well. President's Day, February 18th. Spring break this year is March 25th through the 29th. And Easter is late this year, April 21st. So we'll have Good Friday, the 19th, and then the day after Easter, April 22nd. Those will also be off. Memorial Day is May 27th. And then the last day of school is May 31st with a program that morning and noon dismissal. Okay. All right. Do I have Mrs. Hilbert come up?
Ms. Okay. Can I come up and do a little preview and registration?
All right. So there was an email sent out already in early December regarding siblings of returning families that would be new to Karis. But I know sometimes communication can get lost, so I will resend that email sometime next week for a reminder. The big caveat for those of you who have been here before, what we're asking this year is that we would have a school reference form for each child, if applicable, and if not, then a summary of homeschool experience so that we can really come alongside and help that transition for new siblings to come into our school. Much like last year, and for those of you who weren't here last year, much like what you had to do, there will be two forms to fill out online. One is called the Core Tuition and Fees form, and the other one is called the Student and Course Registration form. We'll be posting these so that they're ready for use at the State of the School address. So that's the 28th, if I have my dates correct. We'll be running tests in our office just to make sure it's all working. I know one of the things that was confusing last year is we would fill out that form and there would be confusion if you filled it out or not, so then there would be duplicates. You should be able to, in your ClassReach account, underneath forms, to see forms that have been submitted, and then you'll be able to recognize which forms you've actually typed in. The student and course registration form will be for each student. The core and tuition fees form is for your family. Just remember, when you're doing your core tuition and fees form, that you click on all four tabs, okay? So you'll see the main tab up first, but please make sure to see all of those because we do need signatures saying that you have seen our new family handbook. And there's always updates every year. The one we're working on right now will go to board approval and should be up and running by the 28th, I hope. registration is only considered complete along with payment. When you are registering on those forms, you'll see that there will be a website. If you would like to pay online, you will be able to do so. Otherwise, you may submit a check. As a heads up, when you, can I just tell you my preference? If you're okay with online payments, I like that. And I think most everybody does because then we can take record and it's easier for us. Kind of the exchange of checks can be a little clunky. Now, if you're committed to giving checks, that's fine. But I just thought I'd let you know my preference. So there it is. it just kind of helps it be less clunky. Let's see, I had one more thing. Yes. As a heads up, we will have returning families be able to register as priority from January 28th. And I think we'll open it that night of the state of the school. We'll release the forms. And then we'll have it through February 18th. Now, as a heads up, we've now let all of the new families who've been applying and who've been accepted or in the process of the application process know that they can start registering on the 18th, okay? So by the 19th, I'm going to let these returning families know if any spots are available. Again, can I tell you preference? Is that okay? If you could do it earlier than later, that is really gracious to us because then we're able to communicate really well and prepare for some of those new families coming in. And it's just good to kind of know who we have. And then we're able to be able to do wait lists and everything. As a heads up, there's probably going to be wait lists this year. That's just where we are. That's where we were last year. We were able to have people on wait lists so that we could be able to see class numbers and we were able to adjust swimmingly. I don't know if that's gonna happen this year, I can't promise that. So my encouragement to you is that if you can, please register as soon as you can once those forms are available. If you need time to decide, that's fine too, but if you have any families that are interested, I would really strongly encourage that they send an application pretty quick here. If this is really a viable option for them and they're really interested in our school. Our next school tour is the 21st of January, as a heads up. Am I missing anything regarding registration, anyone? Oh, go ahead, Laura.
I have a question about the reference form for new students.
Yes.
The teachers who are filling those out,
yes.
Like the Sunday school teachers or whoever, yeah. Should they send those into you?
Yeah, you know, maybe in years I'll clean that up a little bit. I know on the top of the form it says, please mail. But I can understand the clumsiness of the mail system sometimes. So if you want to, hand that to me in a sealed envelope and give it to me, that's fine too. Does that make sense? So they can mail it, but if they want to give it to you and that's just easier, just put it in a sealed envelope, have them put it in a sealed envelope and you can give it to me. Or they can always scan and email it to our info account. Oh, yes.
Sorry. So, they're going to be sending it in. Can we contact you to confirm that you received it?
That would be great. Yep, or we'll contact you if that's helpful. But yeah, I would also like to know if you know when it's coming in the mail, because this is why I would love to have our own building someday. But we have a separate P.O. box. And so it takes an extra trip to go get those things. And that's why things can get a little clumsy. So that's fine. Just let me know what's coming so that I can let the people know who are going to the mailbox to get the envelopes what to look for and make sure we have it all set.
Okay.